Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
What's up, Dustin Roth? How you doing?
I'm wonderful, E. How you doing?
Good.
Full of thanks.
Full of thanks.
Yes.
Full of cornbread dressing and canned mm-hmm. cranberry sauce.
That's right. And potato salad with celery seed.
Oh.
Is that a D thing?
That's a black thing.
You got to put a little celery seed in your potato salad.
Celery seed. I'm going to add that. Right now, we do celery salt. Same? Okay. We'll do that. Excellent, excellent holiday season. I love the holidays. I just want to say, I feel like I wake up in a better mood. And what is your favorite holiday album or song?
Ooh. What do the lonely do at Christmas? I like the sad Christmas songs.
The Donny Hathaway shit.
Yes, I love all of that. Give me all them good Christmas songs. What do they do?
What do they do at Christmas?
Okay, that's what I like.
Be like me sitting at home watching The Color Purple.
Okay,
that's one of my holiday traditions.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, I love The Color Purple.
And I watch it during the holidays, especially for that scene with Miss Millie.
Ooh, hell no. Nah. Boom, laid her ass out.
That shit was so funny. What was that? Lawrence Fishburne packing up that goddamn guitar so fast. I was a grown woman before I realized that was Lawrence Fishburne.
Okay. The Color Purple is just so many nuggets.
It's the best. Shout out to Whoopi. My favorite holiday album, Toni Braxton, Snowflake.
Oh, yes. That's a beautiful Christmas album.
That is a beautiful Christmas album. And it does not hit Christmas to me until I start playing that
nonstop. I agree. I hate to make this about Mary again, but we're going
to. Don't.
She has a beautiful Christmas album that is produced by David Foster.
Oh!
Which also has a duet. Guess who featured on her Christmas album? Barbara Streisand.
Oh, I was going to say Catherine McPhee.
We didn't took it up. Okay.
Not his old lady.
And shout out to her for knowing when to get on board with the getting on board.
Listen, anybody looking for some game?
Okay.
That's game.
Catherine McPhee. That show you how to do it. Yes.
But anyway, that's game. Okay, so now we go. Speaking of game. We're going to talk about a few things on this docket. The late Nipsey Hussle's mother, she's actually been essentially fired by her lawyer. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on this poor black lady and her legal woes, but I do want to make a conversation around Dustin. You can be fired by your attorney. And a lot of folks don't know that or don't know how that process works. And I don't want to see none of y'all out here, especially during the holiday season.
Oh, yeah.
Lawyerless. And all the less that comes along with that. So we wouldn't go over that. Akon's doing a lot of talking.
He is.
A lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving. Now, it's not as raggedy as, what's old? A dirty but light skin? Irv.
Oh, Irv. Oh, my God.
No, it's not giving.
But a lot of talking nonetheless. And I actually noticed that because that's not typical for him.
It's atypical for Akon.
Yeah. yes. Ebony. Yes.
This is what happens when I don't drink a lot on Sunday night and I come in refreshed and poignant. Okay. Akon has been talking a lot. This time he's talking, Dustin, around Young Thug's career. And he's got a hot take. He says that it will be done. He will be canceled by the culture if he talks. I got a different take on that. I want to see what you think.
Okay.
This one's very important to me. A lot of this went under the radar. Manhattan local DA, it's a brother, Alvin Briggs. He did the right thing, but it looked like he was on his way to doing the wrong thing. So we got to talk about it because we family.
Let's break it down.
And I'm glad to report that ultimately he decided not to prosecute a black woman who is clearly a domestic violence survivor. Not a victim, a survivor.
Survivor.
Yeah.
Yep.
So shout out to her. And I'm going to have a last word on Miss Halle Berry.
Okay.
Excuse me. Really short. We ain't going to even go into it deep because Halle don't give you that much to talk about. But It's three things Halle Berry gonna do, and we'll get into it when we get to a story.
Yes.
And I love her for it. That's another game.
For sure.
Different kind of game.
But game nonetheless. Yes.
Okay. All right, so powerhouse attorney, his name is Larry A. Ginsburg. He is from the firm Harris & Ginsburg.
Mm-hmm. What a lawyer name.
Yeah.
Larry A. Ginsburg.
Mm-hmm. Call us, slip and fall.
Okay.
Just playing, y'all. He ain't that kind of lawyer. Don't be calling that man about this shit. He has reported, Dustin, that his communication with his client, in this case, this is Nipsey's mother, Angelique Smith, irremediable breakdown. That's what it is, which is a long word to say there is no remedy.
Okay.
It's irremediable. Yeah.
Ain't no fixing it.
No fixing it. Broken beyond repair. Essentially, he can't get in communication with her. She doesn't call him back. All that kind of shit. Now, he spoke with her other son. Mm-hmm. So this would have been Nipsey's brother, Sam.
Okay.
About the matter. A part of when you fire a client, essentially, or you terminate your relationship with a client, you have to serve them. They have to get notice. That's a legal requirement. So this lawyer has been unable to serve Nipsey's mom because nobody will give him, he says, a last known address. Couple things I want to break down into that. But first, another fact. He was hired by Nipsey's mom in 2019 after Nipsey's death. He did tell the court, and this is an important fact, that she has a separate lawyer that's doing the guardianship case.
Okay.
Y'all have probably read about that in the on the Insta and stuff. Tanisha Foster, one of Nipsey's ex-girlfriend, because he just has the two children, right? One, the older with this woman, 13-year-old child, and then his son, of course, with Lauren London.
I think his name is Cross.
Cute.
Yeah.
Both kids are cute. Nipsey was a beautiful man.
He was, and he had the best braids.
Well, when you got
out of anybody in the serious, Nipsey Hussle had the best braids. He had
it. Shows up.
Yep.
Okay. So she's got a separate lawyer for that issue. I'm actually unclear. I was trying to do some research on this, Dustin. I'm unclear as to what exactly Mr. Ginsburg was handling for her. Mm-hmm. It probably had to do with an estate settlement or money and things like that, I'm sure. Now, I say all that to say this. Normally, once you are on a case as a lawyer, it's actually very hard to get off of a case. A couple things you have to prove. Number one, and it sounds like there may be proof of it here, that if you leave this case, if I, the judge, allow you to check out, essentially, from this case, remove yourself from this case, divest of this particular client, they can't be without counsel. So they really prefer it when they already have another lawyer to speak to the case.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's some version of that going on here. Number two, you've got to prove that it's valid. It's got to be more than just they haven't paid me, because that happens a lot. 90% of the time, Dustin, when I was practicing, especially in Durham, North Carolina, shout out to Durham, it was, you had lawyers all day. Your Honor, I need to get off this case. Why? They'll say some shit, but really, why?
I haven't been paid. Yeah.
And listen, I've been there. I hate chasing people for my money. I don't like doing it today.
Me either. You, Ebony, we share that.
We already share that, and that's why, you know, I don't believe in making. I don't believe in holding people money. Pay people.
And thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Because it feels good to be on the other side of that. It's so refreshing.
And I don't like people playing with mine.
Thank you.
And that's exactly why I move like that. That said, that's one of the reasons I will tell y'all that I left the practice of law to pursue this kind of aspect of legal journalism and media. I don't have time to be running around asking y'all to pay your bill.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what practicing law is.
Yeah.
Truth be told. People, the quiet is kept.
Sure.
A lot of legal practice is not even the practice of law. It's running behind your money. I didn't go to school for that. I don't like cardio. I don't like working out.
Okay. I just want it to work out. Okay.
That's it. So that is not a legal reason, though. So if that's all you've got, the judge will typically tell you, make it enough.
What you want me to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is what it is. Y'all should have got that settled up on the front end. So instead, what we see here in this case is he's probably saying, she's got to be, which is a requirement, your client has got to be able to assist you in their case, communicate with you, be responsive, answer calls, sit down for depositions, things of this nature. The things, you got to cooperate with your legal counsel. Now, this is common sense, Dustin, of course, But everything ain't common. So if you think you can just hire a lawyer, get them on the case, and they gonna handle it all.
That's not how that
that's
works.
That's not how it works. You do have to participate. So he's alleging that she did not participate. Hence, this judge has actually signed off on him removing himself.
Okay.
So I just wanted to go over that one real, real quick so y'all know.
That can happen.
That can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because they're your lawyer today doesn't mean they're your lawyer tomorrow. If you don't act right. Oh, and this notice thing. A lot of y'all think if you dodge service, mm-hmm. you know, if you stay missing or, you know, they open a door and, oh, so-and-so's not here, that will save you.
It will not.
It will not. As we see here, this judge doesn't don't give a damn about her being served. All the lawyer has to prove is that he made a good faith effort to serve her.
Yeah.
So, couple just a little course of review for y'all. Now, there's a whole bunch here in our mock-up, Dustin, around the child thing. It for some reason, it don't really feel right in my spirit to go there.
I get
there.
It. You I get that? It. Yep. I agree.
So we're going to bypass that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going over to Mr. Akon.
Okay.
So Akon had this interview with DJ Vlad, and he talked a lot, as we said in the intro to the show. Lots to say, lots of takes. He had this to say about Young Thug's case. Quote, "The question is whether he is willing to cooperate to save himself and his family. Is he willing to take that mud in the face?" Interesting choice of words.
Very.
Okay. "He has to decide whose life is more important, their life or the people he's trying to impress."
Mm.
"Being known to the world as a snitch is the biggest embarrassment in the world." Okay. How you feeling?
First of all, how he know? He don't know anything about the goings on of Young Thug's case more than we know.
Sure.
You don't know anything about his motivations. You don't know if he's guilty or innocent. You don't know any damn thing. So there's a lot of assumptions going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And Akon, tighten your shit up anyway. Like, you have other pressing matters at hand.
Very much
so. Let's talk
so.
About, well, never mind. But you got other pressing matters at
don't
hand.
Don't worry. He'll probably be on holding court soon. That part, right?
Why you worrying about this shit?
Right.
Come on,
speaking,
Akon.
Speaking on. Yeah, it's so interesting. I remember I grew up in an age, I'm really glad you brought that up, Dustin, where at least grown men didn't really speak on grown men like this. Do you remember those days? Like, especially until it was settled.
You have the comment section to thank for that. I truly believe that the comments, the invention of the comment section, I believe started all this shit.
Has invited too much
because
commentary.
People are so passionate about sharing their opinions on shit. Kyrie sharing that article. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why we're here.
That's why
Akon
we're here.
Talking about this shit.
Yeah, just remember you.
And it's some street shit you talking about. You really want to keep it a buck.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not advocating violence, so don't come for. I just remember you get slapped in the mouth talking like this. I'm not saying we should go back to those days.
But it was a very real consequence for behavior very similar to this.
Now, this is what I think about this. Couple things. Number one, I don't think this is even true, what he's saying. I actually don't think that those days, speaking of, actually this is a perfect segue, of street codes that are no longer applicable. I don't think you are carte blanche canceled by the culture, even hip hop culture, just for talking anymore. I think we have to look at what's going on with, what's your boy with all the colors?
With all the what now?
Colors. Tekashi.
Oh, 6ix9ine, yes.
6ix9ine. He's putting out new music all the time.
Let's really break it down. Now that you have these people cosplaying as gangsters or whatever that are rapping, you know, when the water gets too hot, they do exactly what 6ix9ine did. Look, I'm not no gangster. I'm telling everything.
Quick.
Okay? And I don't give a fuck. He said he don't give a damn. He was going to tell and sing, and he went right back to releasing music.
Literally.
Went right back to the top of the charts. Him and Nicki Minaj got a number one Hot 100 single right after all that happened, and there was no accountability. People continue to consume it. It's the same reason why people running around with Yeezys on today.
That's
today.
It. Today.
Still. Wearing that shit. So people are just not willing to commit
a boycott and none of that consequential shit. And now, I do want to ask you this because you are closer to this than I am culturally. Do you think that Tekashi is getting any type of special treatment because, I'm just going to say it, because he's Hispanic or not seen? Like, do you think Young Thug and any other black presenting artist is going to get that same leeway?
Per the context of this conversation, I don't. I think that definitely played into it.
I was curious about that.
I definitely think that played into it.
Yeah. Like Tekashi's not really being held to the same code.
No, he's not. He's not. And I think that there's a lot of contributing factors to that. There are a lot of them. That would, it would take way more, you know, time than we have. But to answer your question, though.
Okay. Well, we will see. We will see. I do suspect Young Thug will cooperate. I'm just going to put that out there because I think the stakes are too high. Gunna, too. It's just what it is.
What are the options at this
point? I mean, is that or doing a bid? Now, many of y'all will remember, I had a delightful exchange with the lovely Miss Remy Ma on this very topic long time ago. Shout out to State of the Culture.
State of the Culture. Shout out to Remy Ma.
Shout out to Remy Ma.
Beautiful Remy
we
Ma.
We love Remy.
And she's a joy to work with.
She is. She's a professional. She's a joy to work with. Remy's a very smart woman.
Yes, she is.
And she's going to give you a look.
Yeah. And she's gorgeous.
She's beautiful. Beautiful. And she's going to give you a look. And I just want to say, this is totally irrelevant. I really love her and Papoose. And let me tell you what I really love about Papoose. Black love, yes. I have been, and I say this as a beautiful black woman myself.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. I've been in lots of green rooms and just, let's just say, in spaces with couples. And I would like to say Papoose, along with, there's probably one or two others. They might come to me during the episode. Okay. They may not. I'm kind of getting old, y'all. I just appreciate the posture in which they show up. In respect to the women they are married to. It ain't no bunch of head swiveling and shit. You know, it's not like, ooh, I'm scared. It's none of that. It's just, hello, how are you? We're great. That's it. I just, something about that feels very aspirational to me. Because most men don't function that way.
I'm not saying
they hoeing and shit. I'm not saying that. It's just the energy to me is just not what it needs to be.
Yeah.
So I just appreciate that with Pap, it don't matter. It could be who the fuck, Kalani, Cardi, don't motherfucking matter. He is Remy's husband.
I love that.
Is the posture in which he always shows up in.
I love that. They love each other for real. They have such a beautiful young daughter together.
Oh, golden.
They're just
child.
A great. It's great. It's just great to see. And
it's
love this pivot that Remy has taken with her career. Like,
absolutely.
It's just good. It's really good to see. It's so I totally agree.
Very good to see. I just went to just put that out there and give, you know, Pap and Remy, you know,
hell
their flowers on that because we need to see more of that.
Yes, we do.
Now, Remy and I's discussion got a little spicy.
Okay.
Because, you know, I get it. Remy, you know, took a very hard stand. I'm paraphrasing. This all went viral, so y'all can go into Google and see how it really went down on the show. Remy took a very hard stand of if you are a part of a criminal enterprise, more or less, if you do the shit, you better not speak on it. And if to speak on it is to snitch, and snitches either get stitches or sometimes ditches.
Yeah.
So the saying goes. She took a real hard line on it, and she was really not trying to hear. In fact, I think we were talking about 6ix9ine. I think that was the context when we were talking about snitching. Now, see, me, myself, I'm built a little different. Not that I don't respect street code. And I do agree, particularly if you are involved in the, and that's a distinction we need to make here.
Yeah, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, if you are a bystander, if you are just minding your business, walking to the store and you see some criminal shit and you speak on it to investigators or law, that's not snitching. That's actually not snitching. That is actually, to me, being an important part of keeping your community safe. That's different. Now, to Remy's point, that's not young, at least according to the charges, Young Thug here would be a part of the suspected criminal activity. So if he speaks, if he talks about what happened, he would be, as the streets would say, would be snitching. But here's the other part. I remember when I was practicing, Dustin, and one thing that's very important for people to think about before you want to, everybody want to be a gangster, everybody want to get in some shit.
Right.
And when we say gangster, you know, this is different from the bang-em, shoot-em up days of, you know, Nino Brown and
totally different. Yeah.
These are people that we know. They have opportunities, I'm putting that in quotes, come to them around, quote, investments. I know some people in jail right now today, been in jail 8-9 years over real estate loans, primary loan. Anyway, everybody looking for an opportunity, just know the feds are watching. And when the feds knock on your door or get you on that phone, your options are limited, to your point. What are the options?
The deck is already stacked.
It really is. And know that they already have
whatever
99.9% of your fellow comrades already on record. Speaking again. So now it's a matter of, do you want to do all the time or do you want to do some of the time? And those are your options, period, point blank. And that's a question that used to be in the legal community, Dustin. Like, before you do anything, you need to think about how much time can you do?
Yeah.
To be honest, how much time can you do?
None.
You can't do no time?
That ain't for me. I need sunlight.
You can't do even no federal time?
Hell no. I ain't got the time. That's why I ain't getting my hands. I got to stay out the bullshit.
I can do some time. Let me tell you, you can't do none. I can do, now listen, I don't want no state time. I'm going to be honest with you. So that's why I'm not, if I do something, I'm not going to do anything. But if I were, in my fantasy criminal life.
Right.
to be clear, district attorneys that are listening.
Okay, hello.
Y'all know they be trying to use content.
Yeah, we are literally just.
This is just a game, y'all. This is just jokes.
Right.
As Eddie Murphy would say, this is just jokes. Mm-hmm. In my fantasy criminal life, I would never want to do state time because state time sucks worse.
Yeah.
It's just hard, mm-hmm. horrid, deplorable conditions, and it's very, very difficult to even track your. It's a nightmare situation. Now, federal time's not good time,
but it's better than that.
It's certainly better than that, and I do believe on my worst day, I could do. I think I'm a 8 to 15 months type
mm-hmm,
of bitch.
I'm a 8 to 15 minute type of nigga. I can't, like, that ain't for me. It's just not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you, Dustin. So y'all don't do nothing with Dustin. Dustin
it's
talking.
Just not, it's
Dustin
just not.
Talking. Mm-mm. I'll be like, how much?
I can't do it. So I'm just going to go out the room. I'm going to let y'all
talk about it.
I'm going out the room, and I hope it works out for y'all.
For y'all. Yeah, that is that's plausible deniability, which is very valuable. It'll save you a whole lot. Don't know nothing, can't say nothing.
Mm-mm. Nope.
So, yeah, this is interesting. Now that I've heard what you said about the distinctions with 6ix9ine and why he might have been shielded mm-hmm. from some of that backlash, mm-hmm. maybe there's something to what Akon said. I don't know. For some reason, my instinct tells me Young Thug is probably going to talk, as is Gunna, like I said, because they don't have very much legal option. And I actually think they'll both be back in the industry, particularly Young
mm-hmm.
Thug.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly. And actually, let me go further down here in the commentary. Akon made a really good point that I do wholeheartedly agree with. He said his career will be over. It will be over. If he does do music, it ain't gonna be hip hop because hip hop will cancel him.
Young Thug has been completely the opposite of what people expected from him as a rapper anyway.
Exactly.
From his aesthetic
to
the style of music that he makes, the melodic rapping that he does.
Yeah.
In addition to traditional style rapping. So Young Thug has never really ran his business as a rapper, you mm-hmm. know, within those confines of what people expected from him.
What they expected, who they would hold to those standards.
He's never cared about that.
And I agree with you, and that's what Akon, I will say, give him this credit. He says the good thing about him is he's so talented. This gentleman mm-hmm. Could do pop music or country. And yes, that's true too, to your point, mm-hmm. right? Like, he's not confined just talent-wise to kind of that strict interpretation of, mm-hmm. well, hip-hop does, mm-hmm. you know, hip-hop dictates you move like this.
Yeah.
He gets to kind of move however he wants.
He literally wore a dress on his album cover.
Literally.
Which is actually one of the best
albums.
That
fabulous.
Jeffrey album, Lord.
Amazing. So, and he shows up in that way,
you
know, on Couture magazine mm-hmm. covers. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just doing something different. And to that point, I do think that is part of why he will get to have a career way after.
After all of this.
He cooperates. Because he probably will be cooperating.
Mm-hmm.
And Akon did say that, just to put all the facts out there, he did say that he believes Young Thug should do whatever is necessary to get home. So mm-hmm. essentially he's saying talk.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting there. Let's go to this one. Manhattan District Attorney has decided not to prosecute this domestic violence survivor. Manhattan DA Attorney Alvin Bragg, we were seeing all his stuff mm-hmm. Here in New York because we're local. He decided to halt his office's prosecution of Tracy McCarter. Mm-hmm. She is a Black woman. She is the survivor of domestic violence. She's also a nurse, and she killed her abuser. And frankly, good for her.
Mm-hmm.
We want to congratulate that type of action on behalf of her own safety and
Absolutely.
Herself.
Absolutely.
Now, this is what's interesting here. That's how that should go. It doesn't always go that way. I want to be clear, and we'll get to that in a second. But in a letter, this just was announced very recently here, a letter to the judge coming from the DA, Mr. Bragg, Black man, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I said that. He is a Black man. He wrote this letter, made this announcement, and shared it with the Times. Optics. He says that he cannot allow this case to go forward. He wrote that he had, quote, reasonable doubt of whether Ms. McCarter stabbed Mr. Murray with the requisite intent to support a conviction of murder in the second degree. Now, a couple things here. This feels good, but with an asterisk, right? Because this is the same district attorney, a black man, you know, who won pretty convincingly here in Manhattan to take over from Cy Vance, who people didn't really have much for. But the one of the main things he ran on, Dustin, was I stand with Tracy. Like, he was very vocal before getting into office about his support of this victim.
Yeah.
He was on record as to saying, he hashtag tweeted, I stand with Tracy, on record as to saying that to prosecute this woman would be unjust.
Yep.
Because I see this as self-defense. I'm not saying this. You're not saying this. This is what Alvin Bragg, the candidate, said. Yet, when he got into office, he picked up right where Cy Vance had left off. And that was prosecuting this woman. What do you think about that?
I think it's completely hypocritical, and I think it's a huge missed opportunity. And it's very telling of the fact that these people ain't shit, just in general. Like, you literally misled voters. You misled people into thinking that you had a position on this and you were going to do the right thing, and you didn't.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I've been approached in the past to pursue these types of opportunities. Somebody literally, you know, what do you ever do? Here's the thing. It's important to have prosecutors that have integrity and do right. It's very important to have black prosecutors. So I was happy to see the brother get in.
For sure.
Because there's certainly the likelihood of a conscious black person. Let me say that, because we know all black folks not conscious. A conscious black DA.
Come on.
Does put black folks in a better position to be on both the receiving and giving end of justice. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
If I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, Dustin, and this is why I've never really been desirable for these types of positions, is because I know that you can actually have great intention. You can actually really hold that position of this is, but once you get into the mechanism itself,
it's a different
story. It's a different story. And I'm not justifying the flip-floppedness here. We see it. I'm simply providing a little context, D, around
why
the power of the machine.
Yeah.
When you are going into a system, whether it's as a DA, whether it's as a judge, whether it's as a senator or congresswoman, you are going into a generation, centuries-year-old machine that has functioned a particular way for a long time. And I'm willing to guess, Dustin Ross, you probably ain't the only half-right, want-to-do-right motherfucker that's tried.
Yeah.
Right?
How about that?
How about that? Like, that was always my response. Like, I'm not so arrogant as to think I'm the first black woman to want to change things from the inside and get in there and make it better for my people. I'm pretty sure some brilliant folks, period, but especially some brilliant black women, have had that same mission.
Yeah, that same desire.
That same desire. Sure. And yet what we're seeing with Alvin, I bet you if we sat this brother down for a drink, he would say this was some hard motherfucking shit.
Yeah.
I bet you in order for him to make this decision to dismiss this case against this black woman, he probably had to eat something somewhere else. You better believe it. You better believe it.
That is how this type of business is done unofficially.
Exactly.
But that's literally how this type of stuff happens. There's a deal made. There's this is, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours type shit.
Yeah, it's some shit behind this. You better believe it in that regard. But I am glad for Ms. McCarter's sake that this went down like this. Just a couple background facts for y'all not as familiar with the case. Back in really peak pandemic, March 2020. She was arrested on her Upper West Side Manhattan apartment after her estranged husband, a white man named James Morey, and I'm telling you he's white for a reason, I'll get back to it, died of a stab wound during the altercation. She and her attorneys have maintained her innocence, Dustin, have always stated it was pure self-defense, which is an affirmative defense, rather, that she was fearful for her life, that he had attacked her, and she had no choice but to stab him to save her own life. Now, there is some body camera footage from the neighborhood that night where you can see this man running from door to door to door, pushing all the glasses and trying to fight her. He's also, the neighbors say, he was drunk and that he was ringing all the doorbells to all the apartments in the building, harassing folks, you know, and just being a mess, being
a nightmare.
What do you call it? A nuisance. A menace. A menace, a nuisance, all the above. also, to her credit, neighbors testified, Dustin, that they heard her screaming for help.
Okay.
Okay, so that goes to her credibility. And then this part is very, very, very important. This man did not start to be a violent threat that night. And very few abusers are. Do. They almost always, Dustin, have a long track record of this behavior.
This pattern of behavior.
And here, this is very helpful. And this is part of why I think this woman, like so few victims, so few DV victims, male, female, non-binary, trans, very few. And it shows up a lot in the trans community. We see it.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Totally. And unfortunately, several of those trans women who are victims of this type of abuse and violence don't get this out. They don't get this outcome.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's harder for them to prove what she was able to prove.
Yep.
She had these text messages. I'm going to run down some of them where she, and this was obtained by The Root, so we're getting this from them, dating all the way back to 2018. So you've got three-ish plus years of longevity to say that she told her friends via text message. So this is something that you can, that the DA can subpoena from AT&T, if you, your credit good, or T-Mobile, if it's not.
No, you did not, Ebony.
I had to. It was right there. I just had to walk through it. They can subpoena it from your carrier and prove the veracity of what you're saying, and not just I said or my friend said or whoever. This is documented.
Verifiable.
Verifiable. Mm-hmm. She told her friends via text, Dustin, that he had been violent towards her. Quote, I am so scared, is what she texted her friend, Ashley Gray, in 2018. Mm. She also goes on to tell that same friend, Dustin, I didn't tell you this, but he punched me and kicked me several times.
Mm.
And he tried to choke me. That's via text. In a letter also to Tracy as a part of his therapy for alcoholism, he said, so this again, this is handwritten by him. He admitted to fighting her and to pulling her hair. So this is documentation.
Okay,
I'm going
good.
Through this like this, y'all, because that matters. Mm-hmm. When you telling a DA or you telling even an investigator before it gets to that point, oh, my God, it's self-defense. They're never hardly going to just take your word for it. Mm-hmm. Number one, they probably are looking for some defensive wounds on you. I guarantee you this woman probably had scratches and stuff where she's trying to fend for her life and defend herself. And then she brings in this litany of text messages, Dustin, and handwritten letters to prove the credibility
for sure
of her claims of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped greatly. Ultimately, the first grand jury didn't see any of that. They didn't see any of this evidence. They never knew that he had a history of abuse, nor did they hear that she was afraid of him and that she claimed self-defense. So that's why they ultimately did indict her.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she got arrested in the first place. She was in Rikers for many months because of COVID. Like I said, peak COVID delays. And we all know what can happen in Rikers. So devastating there. She was released on house arrest later, but could not leave the state to receive the much-needed mental health treatment she needs, Dustin, because of the house arrest and the confines of her bond. She's desperately traumatized, of course, and her lawyer is like, she needs to be able to leave and go get the treatment she needs. So now that Mr. DA has finally done the right thing, and we're glad. It's never too late to do the right thing.
Never.
But we just got to tell it all.
Yep. If I'm going to tell it, then I got to tell it
gotta
all.
Got to tell it all. You already know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy that she's home.
We're
happy that she is not being charged. You know, as a board member of Safe Horizon, Dustin, you know, I this work is very important to me. As somebody who used to practice in domestic violence space, we need more of this.
Mm-hmm.
We need more of when people, and that's another thing, domestic violence is not always against women.
No.
There are male victims out there. You better believe it. At Safe Horizon, we have special programming to make it safe for men to speak about the violence that they are on the receiving end
of. Look at the young
home.
Man that just got killed by his girlfriend. Remember
blonde.
Yeah. Yep.
So no matter who you are in the capacity of the relationship, if you find yourself on the receiving end of violence and threats, you should not be prosecuted for saving your own life. That's the moral of the story here. The secondary moral is, Mr. DA, glad it was you and not someone else, because a different kind of DA that wasn't able to negotiate probably some backdoor dealings to make this fair and reasonable judicial discretion call might not have been willing to participate in a negotiation that would get this sister her deserved justice.
Damn.
It's deep, y'all. It's complicated. It's always more than meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And just know, I want to just leave you with that on this one. It's more than meets the eye. He ran vocally and visibly to not prosecute her. And Dustin, I guarantee you that's why it was more difficult for him to get to this conclusion sooner. I guarantee you that the some bureaucratic powers that be were like, oh, mm-hmm. oh, you want to be Mr. Save the Day Hero DA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. going to cost you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thankfully it worked out this time.
Amen. Thankfully, and we want to see more and more and more of it. So we appreciate you, Mr. DA.
Doing the good work.
The good work. And we are so grateful and happy for your health and your justice, Sister McCarter.
Absolutely.
Before we go, one quick word on Miss Halle Berry.
Yes.
You know, I love Halle. She's my beauty icon, personally.
For sure.
And will always be. Did I tell you I saw her in an elevator at an agency that shall not be named?
Okay. Really? Wow.
Yes.
Was she pleasant?
She was so, mm-hmm. it was literally just being Halle Berry. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, I don't really do a lot of starstruck,
yeah,
but like Halle
yeah,
Berry.
Yeah.
Like, I stepped
it's
in the elevator,
Halle Berry.
And I was just like, I look like I was like Santa Claus. I was just
yes.
like cheesing. And she could tell. She's like, hi. I was yep. like, hi, Halle. I was like, you're so beautiful. And she said, so are you. I was like, oh, my
oh,
God.
Man.
Ah,
wow. Ah. Wow. Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. And she was more beautiful mm-hmm. in person. And she was just chilling with her little pixie.
Yeah.
So that gets me to the three things Halle Berry going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Halle Berry going to stay fine.
Mm-hmm.
Halle Berry's going to keep getting that pixie cut refreshed mm-hmm. every 2 to 6 years.
As she should.
With a new color sometimes.
That's right.
And she's going to keep going, taking these motherfuckers she got these kids with to court and get this child support cut.
As she should. And I was so happy to see this because I never was comfortable. I right. always felt like that was a bad situation for her. I mm-hmm. felt like they took advantage of her wealth oh, and yeah. all that. So good for her.
Yeah, it was exploitation for sure. And this latest one, you know, I will say this. Gabriel Aubrey, that was the first man she had the child with, her oldest yeah. daughter, mm-hmm. Nyla, I believe,
mm-hmm.
Who's got to be pretty getting grown up now.
She's about 12 now?
Got to be something like that.
Yeah, she's growing up.
She's growing up. Beautiful little girl. Anyways, recently, the child support that Halle was paying to Gabriel was $16,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, y'all, they have 50-50 custody. So it's not like he's a primary parent. She had, and Halle already pays all of the educational expenses mm-hmm. and the insurance. So what you doing with $16,000 a month extra, Gabriel?
You know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Living the high life. High on
That's
the hog.
Right. That's right. Living high on the hog on Holly's dime. Okay?
Yeah.
Living high on the hog, Ebony. That's exactly what
That's exactly
it is.
That's exactly what it's doing. Well, Halle said, not today and not on my watch. She took his ass to court. She said it was literally exploitation that was in her complaint. Judge agreed, so that has now been cut in half. Good job, Halle. $8,000.
Good for her.
Yeah, and that's what you got to do, y'all. I think the lesson here is you don't have to be Halle Berry. Listen, family court calls, so I'm not saying that's not a consideration. But when your circumstances change, and, you know, Hallie's always going to be a queen and fabulous, but she's not doing what she was doing 5 to 10 years ago in terms of work.
No, it's different now. You've talked about this before, about going to get these child support orders adjusted
mm-hmm.
when your income adjusts. You've talked about that on the show before, and she
yes.
did exactly what she was supposed to do.
She did exactly what she was supposed to do, and every time she goes, she sees it go down, 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 because I want to say we covered this season 1, and I think she was paying 32.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's continuing to get these payments cut in half, and we love to see
We love to see it, because, and I'm going to tell you something else. This is what happens when you live a good life and you do good. Halle Berry, she's very active on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and she's one of the people who wraps her arm around the new talent, wraps
Absolutely.
Her arm around the younger people coming up. She embraces all the young rap girls. She talks about
Absolutely.
All the new music. Like, she's doing it the right way when you're aging in this business.
You know what else she does that I love? When she's on that red carpet, Dustin, and she sees a black
media outlet.
Mm-hmm. She
beelines,
and when her handlers try to dissuade her,
mm-hmm.
She says, hold the phone.
I'm going to talk to them, and
she sure
does her thing. And that's why she's going to stay blessed.
Yep.
That's why
and
she
beautiful.
Looks
that's
and
why
beautiful.
She looks fine still.
That's why.
Yeah. It's what's on the inside coming up on
For
the
real.
Outside.
For real. That's right. That's exactly what's happening, Ebony. You're making me laugh. That's exactly
that
what's
is.
Happening.
It
you
is.
Know?
It
and
is.
And good for her.
Good for
good
her.
Good for her. Halle Berry, we love you.
We love you. Mm-hmm. I'll see you next time, girl.
That's
with
right.
With your beautiful self.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of next time, y'all, that's when y'all going to see us again, too.
next time.
Next time.
You have got me dying.
I'm just being so I'm so happy for the holidays. That's what
it is. Me too, yo.
Me too. It's hot. We're festive this week.
This is my season. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Listen, finishing fourth quarter
with
strong.
With an E on the end of it. Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to let that just be what it is. Y'all, join us next week. Hopefully we have a little more sense. Court will be back in session. In the meantime, stay safe, stay jolly. Yep. Have a little eggnog, a cup of cider.
That's right.
Roast some chestnuts.
That's right.
And what you want the people to do, does
read your terms and conditions.
Every time.
Yep.
Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swegg. And marketing lead, Samira Still.